Hello, this is Ellis Prince, the pastor of the Gallery Church of Baltimore. I want to thank you for joining our podcast today. I hope this teaching inspires you and gives you courage to pursue Jesus Christ. I hope that this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. If we can help you in any way, please feel free to reach out. Now let's get back to the podcast.
So we are excited today. We have a friend to Gallery with us in the form of Pastor Charlie Mitchell, and he will be sharing some things from the book of Acts, and I'll be reading Acts, the third chapter, and we'll focus on verses 11 through 24. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and coming running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by your own power of godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom ye see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed to you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you, and anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people. Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days. May God add a blessing to the readers and hearers of his word. Pastor Charlie.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Super shout out to everybody here and online. I forget to acknowledge our online folks. I'm really excited to be diving into this story together with you guys this morning. I hope y'all are good with me being a substitute teacher for Pastor Ellis. Hopefully I'm the cool substitute teacher that you're excited to see and not the, not him again. So I hope that's not the case this morning. But I'm really excited to be diving into this story because it's a unique story for many of us as we walk through our daily life. One of the things I've struggled with over the course of my Christian life, I would say, is there are people that I will encounter, friends, family, colleagues, whatever, and they'll see the transformation that God has done in my life over the course of time. And we'll have these kind of heart-to-heart conversations, or they'll finally kind of express some things to me that I've kind of assumed and experienced, but then they finally really articulate. And I remember a friend saying this to me, "Well, Charlie, I'm not like you. I can't just stop doing the things, and he's talking about his vices, he's talking about his kind of instincts, he's talking about his desires, all of these things that are bubbling up that for him, in his mind, he's going, if I were to walk with Jesus, I can't just stop that stuff. And so it's easier for you. It's easy. I'm not like you. I'm going like, what? What do you mean you're not like me? We were doing the same thing at the same time in the same community, in the same places, same everything. Now all of a sudden, because I'm walking with Jesus and you're seeing transformation take place in my life, now all of a sudden I'm some kind of new and distinct human. I'm not the same anymore. We've got different blood. We've got different. I'm like, bro, what are you talking about? It's similar for many of you as you've gone to school, you've worked through courses, you've studied hard, you stayed up late, you've gotten up early, you pushed against the grain, you missed parties, you've done all this stuff just to get through graduation, just to get the job, just to build the relationship. And then somebody comes, man, it must be nice. Nice? What do you mean, must be nice? You were there when I had to go to bed early. You were there when I had to stay up late. You were there, what? And that's the question of my sermon. What did you expect? If you go through the process, if we were to go get a personal trainer and eat the way he says to eat and do what he says, I think I'll start to have some change. But maybe, just maybe, it's my doubts, it's my fears, it's my resistance to that process that says, nah, I can't get those same outcomes. I can't get those same transformations. And with Christians, this can be one of those areas where, especially for me as a pastor, oh, you're a professional Christian. You get paid to be a Christian. So, you know, it's of course you get up and read your Bible daily and you don't struggle with prayer. And, you know, of course you just are nice and kind to people naturally. That should just come. No. None of that stuff comes natural. All of this is a process by which I've said, okay, I've turned my expectation from resistance to leaning into the faith and believing the promises that God actually says for us. That if he actually dwells in us, now watch, we're gonna see, y'all have been walking through the book of Acts. So as we've seen, the powers come down on the church. There's all these kind of weird, miraculous things happen. People are being attracted to the church. Things are growing. And then y'all get to last week, they're just walking through the streets at this point and there's all kind of crazy stuff. People are saying, hey, man, y'all got anything for me? Peter and John are like, no, we don't have anything, but what we do have, we'll give it. Next thing you know, this dude is walking. And there's all these people now kind of flinging and clunging and magnetized to Peter. It's where we find ourselves in this text today. And the crowd is amazed. They're amazed at the fact that this guy that we've seen day in and day out, he's now standing, he's celebrating, he's elated because of this miracle that has happened. And Peter, realizing what is going on, he addresses the crowd. Now, this is interesting in and of itself because we know Peter's backstory. We know Peter was one of the more fearful. We know Peter was, when pressure got high, when things looked bad, Peter was the one who ran away in fear and timidity. And now we've seen Peter now with this infusion of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's now in him and it's turned him around. It's transformed him from the inside out. From the cowardly lion to the bold lion. From the timid disciple that's gonna ride or die with Jesus to one who is now leading on the front line. And that's what we pick up in James and Acts. See, y'all, man, we did 10 weeks together in James. I'm so used to it. My brain just went right back there. So, this is where we pick up in Acts chapter 3, verse 11. While he was holding on to Peter and John, all the people utterly astonished ran toward them in what is called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he addressed the people. So Peter's like, okay, we got another opportunity. But he knows he has to address them a certain way because they think it's him. They think he now has, oh, wow, he's got some magical power. Similar to how my friends and family have treated me. Oh, you got some magical powers. It must be nice. You just can do miracles. Miracles? No, this isn't miracles. And he begins to ask them questions. And this is the question I'm asking all of us. What did you expect? And that's a double entendre. It's a double entendre because did you expect that it was me and my work? Or did you forget that there was one who had been promised to us that he said this is what he would do? What did you expect? And he's looking at these people. When Peter saw this, he addressed the people, fellow Israelites, why are you amazed at this? What's the big deal? What is the big deal? So for many of us today, here's the issue I want to address. We doubt the effectiveness of the power of Jesus in our lives. We doubt it. And we look around and we go, oh, well, they've got power. They've got something special, but that's not for me. It's not reserved for me. I can't get that level of transformation in my life because of the things that I've dealt with, the things that I experienced, the season I'm currently in. There's no way that stuff can be applied to me in my life. And what we get to see here is the power of Jesus in real lives, similar to what we see with Peter and John. So let's dive in. First thing I want you to see is Peter makes it clear, transformation comes through faith in Jesus. Transformation comes through faith in Jesus. Look at the text. He says, while this man, this lame man, we don't even get the dude's name. You just from now on, the lame man. Good grief. He's no longer lame, but he's the lame man. While he was holding on to Peter and John, all the people were amazed. Peter saw this. He addressed the people, fellow Israelites, why are you amazed at this? Why do you stare at us? As though we made him walk by our own power or godliness. What you looking at me for? It wasn't me. It wasn't my power. It wasn't my effectiveness. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied before Pilate. Now, what I like about this sermon a little bit is he is being kind of petty, okay? He's being petty. And there's those of us who have this kind of, you know, natural inclination. When I get the platform and I get the mic, I'm going to make sure to drive the knife in and kind of turn it a little bit just to remind you, okay? And so that is exactly what Peter is doing here. He's being very petty with this crowd. It's like, ha, okay. Remember y'all were doing all that celebrating? Remember y'all, and we all know the scriptures? Remember all of that? Well, look here. Y'all has glorified a servant whom you handed over before Pilate. Though he had decided to release him, you denied the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer released to you. Wasn't it y'all? Don't look at me now. It was you who set all this in motion. You killed the source of life whom God raised from the dead. We are witnesses of this. I was there. I saw it. You all did it. Now he was complicit too. And we're complicit because we all go through days, moments, seasons where we doubt the effectiveness and the power and the word of God. We question, man, I don't know, did God really say? Why I take solace in that is because the best of us will go through that. It's not you in a weak moment. John the Baptist who baptized Jesus, who saw heaven opened up, a dove come down, lightning strike, heard the voice of God when he was sitting in prison. What did he say to his disciples? Is he really the one who is to come? So if you ask that question, you're in good company. So I don't ever want you to feel like you're, man, I don't have faith because I question these things and this belief system. But the thing we have to be reminded of is this. No, transformation comes through faith in Jesus. It's the faith that I have to have cultivated. It's the faith. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I'm going to trust him in spite of my instincts. That's what faith is. It feels hot. It feels like I will be crushed. It feels like I'm being dismissed and forgotten. It feels, all of those things are feel. I see, it looks like everything is against me. It looks like this will not work out. It looks like all of those things are absolutely true. And we don't want to minimize that. But faith says, God will never leave me nor forsake me. Therefore, in spite of what it feels like, what it looks like, I will trust in faith. He says, you killed the source of life whom God raised from the dead. Witnesses of this, by faith in his name. His name has made this man strong. Whom you see and know. So the faith that comes through Jesus has given him this perfect health in front of all of you. So my response should have been to my friend in that moment is to not get frustrated and disappointment, me, man, we came together. No, it's by faith in his name that you see the transformation in me. It's not that I all of a sudden just became better. It's because of the Spirit dwelling in me. It pushes me. It drives me. Now I kind of, okay, I don't know. Is that my gut or is it the Holy Spirit? And we're doing constantly, day in and day out, through prayer, through fasting, through spiritual disciplines. I'm trying to tune my ear, trying to tune my mind, trying to tune my body to say, Charlie, do not trust your instincts. Because you're ruled by fear. Your emotions will take over. Whatever else comes naturally to you. But there's something inside of you that's now saying, no, Charlie, trust me. Keep walking. Be kind. No, we don't have to do that. You're no longer a slave to sin. What do you mean I'm not a slave to sin? I feel all this temptation. And it's like, nah, that's not you anymore. So what is it? Peter redirects the crowd's amazement, not towards himself, which we can easily do. How are you so nice? How are you so kind? How do you navigate this crisis that you're in? Man, what meditation practices are you using? Man, what kind of family did you grow up in? Man, and it's easy to kind of go, oh, yeah, you see something special in me. Yeah, you're right. I am. I know how to handle all kinds of situations. This is no problem for me. But instead, Peter says, nah, look at Jesus. Emphasizing that the healing occurred through faith in his name, not Peter's name. Not through his own power. And so I want you to shift your focus from your efforts. Because there's an easy way to kind of go, okay, if I'm walking with Jesus and things are going on, I just got to figure this out on my own. I gotta have more grit and tenacity, more consistency. I gotta have more commitment. I really gotta lean into this. And that some of that is true. Some of that is true. But it's more about Jesus, I'm trusting you in spite of how I feel about this. I'm trying to trust you more. I'm trusting the process that you've laid out for me more than I'm just trusting my own kind of effort to make this happen. So good example, if you want to wake up earlier, it's just like, okay, set the alarm. Well, we all know you can set the alarm and they have this beautiful thing that is disconnected to it called the snooze button, right? It's beautiful. And it's like, man, are you trying to sabotage me? I want to get up at this time, but you've given me the option to opt out as many times as I would like. But then some of us realize, okay, the snooze button is there to sabotage you. Don't trust the snooze button. So what you got to do is put the phone on the other side of the room. Not the other side of the room, in the kitchen, okay? Through the door, over the hills, through the woods, wherever, to get us to wake up. And so we get trapped in this idea of just kind of willpower. I don't want you to rely on your willpower. There's a great book. The title sums up the whole book. You know what it says? Willpower doesn't work. Because our best efforts, we always find a way, right? And what he says in this book, his name is Dr. Benjamin Hardy. He says, real quicksand doesn't suck you in and swallow you. It kills you with dehydration. The reason people die from quicksand is because they are alone with no one to help pull them out. You're relying on your willpower. I'm just strong enough. I'll just fight. I can get through this. As they struggle to pull themselves out, each movement shifts them deeper into the sand until only their head remains. Thus, grand attempts with willpower actually get them more stuck. Now, we've watched enough movies, enough Indiana Jones to know, don't move if you fall into quicksand. But if you're the one in the quicksand, you're going to wiggle and you're going to squirm. Okay? Willpower doesn't work. Neither does going it alone. So that's why you can't rely on your willpower. You need people around you. And so I've seen with my own two eyes, I've seen in this church and I've heard the stories. And as I go and preach and teach at these other places, listen, it wasn't willpower that willed us through it. No, it was the power of Jesus transforming us from the inside in community. Right? So John and Peter now walking through the streets, but they're in community. So my faith, it doesn't have to be as strong as I've got somebody there to lean on. Right? So my faith doesn't have to be as strong to figure all these things out if I've got other people around me. We've seen countless people who struggle with addiction, who struggle with their past, despite numerous attempts to break free from their vices and addictions. What happens if they find themselves constantly relapsing? Until what? Until they find a support system that says, hey, listen, through the community's love and growing faith in Jesus, they are able to experience a profound transformation. That's what my friend was looking at when he looked at my life. That's what your friends and family see when they say, man, how did you change so much? Oh, this wasn't just an overnight thing. It was the small groups. It was the Sunday mornings. It was the calls. It was the text messages. It was the me trying to figure this out and navigate it. It was all of those things put together that produce what you currently see in me. So transformation comes through faith in Jesus, not through your own power or strength. We got that? So my first question for you is this. Are you relying on your own efforts or are you trusting in Jesus' power to transform you? Because many of us, when it gets down to it, we're relying on us to make us stay in this. No. You don't have to rely on yourself. Are you trusting in his power to transform you? He dwells in you. You know that, right? He's wanting to work through you if you would just allow him the opportunity. Second thing we see in this passage is God's plans are trustworthy and fulfilled in and through Jesus. Acts chapter 3, 18 to 21. In this way, God fulfilled what he had predicted through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Therefore, repent, turn back, so that your sins may be wiped out. The seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus who has been appointed for you as a Messiah. Heaven must receive him until the restoration of all things was God spoke about through the holy prophets from the beginning. So scattered throughout this message that Peter is preaching and leading through, what is he saying? Listen, all of this was a part of the plan. All of the, what you're going through was a part of the plan. He explains that Jesus' suffering, resurrection, all of this was part, man, he already knew how you guys were going to react. And you know what he did? He fulfilled the prophecies about him. That lets you know that you can trust him. That lets you know that you can trust him. Because when it looks the worst, that means he's still at work. And you've got proof. So Peter's making the case. Guys, it's not my power, okay? But then look, this was all part of it. He knew that you would forget. He knew that you would doubt. He knew that you would murder him. He knew all of this. And he set it up in such a way that all of this would reveal who he truly is. So for many of you, as you go through circumstances and situations, I want you to be reminded that God's plans are trustworthy and reliable. Many of us will jump to a passage like Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, for a hope and a future. Yes, that is all well and good. But Jeremiah also says, you bamboozled me, you hoodwinked me, and you scammed me. Because you said you knew me from my mother's womb, and if you knew me from my mother's womb, you would know I don't like being in high pressure situations where the whole world feels like they're against me. Jeremiah also said that. And so we always will cherry pick a moment and go, well, you know, that means it's up and to the right, okay? Walking with Jesus, everything's going to be on easy street. My middle son has a little bit of a bop when he's feeling good. And so it's just like I'm walking with Jesus, so we're going to do a little bop, and it's going to be all right, you know? We're walking down the yellow brick road, and we're going to get to Oz eventually. No. No, 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 no. There's all this stuff in here that's got to get worked out. That's called sanctification, okay? And this, it should be the obstacle course of faith in Jesus. But all of these things are building muscles and nutrients and skills so that we become more like Jesus. So I don't know what diagnosis you've been given. I don't know what the counselor or therapist said. I don't know what your background is like. But you can trust the plans and the goodness of God, no matter what situation you find yourself in. Amen. And we have countless stories in the scriptures, but also in the lives of the people around you that have seen the faithfulness of God throughout the most difficult, harrowing, scary situations you could ever imagine. God is still good in spite of my current circumstance. When we look at somebody like the story of Joseph, who was a young man, gets a dream. All right, this is very good. Man, I'm going to be something special. Everybody around me is going to bow down to me. Little did he know, he would be sold into slavery by his jealous brothers. He would go through hardship and imprisonment in Egypt. Yet, even in the darkest moments, God was working behind the scenes. It was all a setup. It was all a setup. Joseph's ability to interpret dreams eventually led him to be the second most powerful man in Egypt, being able to see that dream realized, right? But he had to go through hell and high water to get there. So part of this whole transformation thing is that, man, I got to learn to trust in his plan and his will over my plans and my will. And that's hard. But here's what you got to be reminded of. Don't immediately jump to, is God good? No, he is good. Therefore, this must be working for my benefit. That's the reframe we've got to have. If this is hard for me, I don't know why this is going on. I don't know if I, and we can go down the rabbit hole. Did I earn this? Did I do something to trigger this? What did I say? What did I do? Is there some secret sin? All of those things will send you into a tailspin. No, what anchors us is the fact that God is good and his plans are trustworthy and will be fulfilled for you on your behalf. So, do you trust that the promises of God, do you trust that the promises of God and the plans for your life will come to pass just as they did in Jesus' life? Now watch. We immediately go with the American dream with that. You can't do that. Because if we watch Jesus' life, even at a fast glance, he was the nicest, he was the kindest, he was perfect. And it went way left for him. From our vantage point, why would he, the Messiah, come to suffer? And he said also, hey, if you're going to be like me, you're going to be with me, the things that happen to me will happen to you. Right? So for us, we go, man, why is this all? What happened? No, you don't got a question. He told you. If you roll with me, these are the things that are going to happen. The promise is you will have resurrection and the life, okay? But eternal life starts today. Then you're not waiting until you get to heaven. We get to see many thousands of resurrections day in and day out as we walk through the streets and walk through our lives. But we got to trust that the promises are good. Last and final thing that we see from this text. Peter's preaching this message to this amazed crowd, asking them, what did y'all expect? What me? And the very fact that, listen, God's plans are trustworthy. He promised us. He told us this was all going to happen. Y'all should have seen this. Number three, repentance brings refreshing and true life. Now, what can happen is as we go through life, you're going through these circumstances and situations that will seek to increase doubt and fear. You're going to go through things where the fire is going to get hot. You're going to be tested. Storms are going to come, and there's pathways you can take. And a lot of times those pathways we take, and we've seen it with our friends and our family. Because I went through that, God... God is like this. He's not good. He can't be trusted. No, this is just the way that I am. Statements like that, what are they doing? They've entrenched themselves in that belief because of the pain or the heartache or the storm that came their direction. Or on the positive side, I made this happen. I was strong enough. I endured. I self-made myself. I did this. It was me all along. Whoa. It was you. It's crazy. And so what Peter invites them to is repentance. And here's what he says. Therefore, now that you've seen that God's, it's not us, but it's Jesus. And you've seen that this has been fulfilled through the prophets and all of Scripture. Therefore, repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped out. That seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, who has been appointed for you as the Messiah. Heaven must receive him until the time of restoration of all things, which God spoke about through his prophets from the beginning. Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me from among your brothers, but you must listen to everything he tells you. And everyone who does not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from the people. In addition, all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel to those after him have also foretold these days. So listen, here's the invitation. Don't hold on to your preconceived notions. Don't let your trauma, big T, little T, define who you actually become in your relationship with Christ. Don't let your personal successes isolate you to the point where you think you can handle all things on your own. Repentance is what's going to bring refreshing and true life. So Peter says, listen, we set all of this in motion. Like we were part of this. We set this up. But he says, hey, listen, let's repent, turn back so that our sins may be wiped out. We don't have to carry the guilt. You don't got to carry the shame. You might be the cause of your own worst pain in your life. That's okay. God, Jesus came in order to take care, to deal with that, to alleviate you of those pressures. You don't have to be a perfect person. You don't have to be a perfect parent. You don't have to lead this meticulously excellent life where everything is super efficient and dialed in. You don't have to carry all those expectations because Jesus did that. Now, lay down those expectations you have on yourself or others so that you can actually experience the renewing, the reviving, and restore, and the restoration that comes from life in the Spirit. So now, when people say, man, how did you do that? Man, it wasn't me. It was God in me. It wasn't me. Well, how did you maintain your stability? How did you talk through that situation? I met with somebody last week, and I'm telling them the situations I was going through and times I've gone through, and they were like, well, man, that took a lot of wisdom. Like, how did you learn that? Learn? That wasn't at a class. I didn't take a class for that. What was that? That was the Holy Spirit dwelling in me in real time. Jesus said, man, you're going to find yourself in situations and moments you don't know what to do or to say. But in that moment, the Holy Spirit will bring to your memory what to say. You know how many moments I've been in like that? Then, Charlie, what did you say? I don't remember. I don't know. And not that I had an out-of-body experience. It was just like, man, something came over me. It was a moment where I was just filled with the Spirit enough to navigate this moment. So, hey, so repent. That means, hey, okay, Lord, I've tried it my way. It's really scary to trust you sometimes. But I'm going to lean in this time. I feel like I keep hitting brick walls. I'm tired of doing that. Can we try this again? So some of us come into service on Sundays and we're like, man, I'm tired. I don't know if I can keep doing this. You don't know what I'm going through. All of those things are absolutely true. Man, let go of all of those predetermined expectations and literally allow him to renew you. Right? Give you a fresh heart. Charlie, the scars on my heart, the scars on my soul, the abuse I've experienced, I know. If you're in good company, many of us here have experienced so many of the hardest, darkest things, but God can renew, he can revive, he can restore. And repentance and conversion always means refreshing immediately back to our spirit. So I don't know how many times we've sang songs and we've worshiped and we feel the weight come off our shoulders. That's what Jesus invites us to. He said, hey, you ain't got to carry all that. Let me carry it. You know how I know? He said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. But no, Jesus, walking with you is so hard. It's so burdensome. Hey, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So trust me. You got to remember, repentance is not about just turning away from sin, turning away from something, but it's also turning to somebody. It's also turning to and embracing the abundant life that comes from Jesus. True eternal life. We don't all have to be burdened with anxiety, fear, just timidity, all these things that kind of come in to weigh us down. True eternal life starts to pick our heads up now. So I can look at my friends. You should be able to look at your friends, at work, your colleagues. What happened to you? Something's different. You're right. It's the Holy Spirit dwelling in me. And I'm trying to trust him more every single day. So let's look back over this passage, okay? I want you to remember this story because this is a great story. And I want you to remember that Peter is being very petty. Petty Peter. You're going to remember that, okay? Transformation comes through faith in Jesus. Doesn't come by willpower. God's plans are trustworthy and fulfilled in Jesus. He already knows. This is a setup, okay? He's booby-trapped it to where it will work out in your favor, right? And then repentance, even though it might be hard, you might have said some things. repentance actually gives us access, refreshment, and true life. Amen? Let me pray for you. Jesus, I am honored that we get to dive in, walk through the scriptures together. You've left us these breadcrumbs in the scriptures, in stories like this with Peter and John and the lame man to kind of do deep work in our own hearts. These were real men, real women, and they experienced, they saw, they've got the same emotions and things that we have. And Lord, it's easy for us to distance ourselves from them. Lord, I pray you would close the gap. Help us to realize that no, we're not as different as these people in these pages. We've got mixed emotions about all of the things that we experience. Many of us have started to expect that you won't answer prayer. Many of us have lost that sense of passion because you haven't come through when we thought you should. Lord, many of us are going through difficult times, transitions. And Lord, this has been very difficult for us. But Lord, help us to be reminded. Would you increase our faith? Would you increase our faith in this moment? Would you remind us of your goodness, of your track record of never failing, of faithfulness, of mercy and grace toward us? And even, Lord, as we prepare to go and take communion together, Lord, I pray you will remind us that we do have to rely on the body and blood and the resurrection of Christ. This is what grounds us in real time. Real blood was shed, real flesh was broken, so that we may have access to you. So Lord, as we partake in these elements, Lord, I say just remind us of your goodness and the sacrifice you made. Help us to fend off doubt so that we may lean in towards the delight you have prepared for us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Gallery Church podcast. I want you to take the message you just received and allow it to go deeply into your mind and heart. Let Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, do the deep work that only He can do. I want to say thank you to everyone who gives to the church. Your gifts make this podcast and ministry possible here in Baltimore and other parts of the world. You can be a part of our work by going to gallerychurchbaltimore.com/give or by downloading the church app from the App Store. You can also subscribe and share these podcasts with your friends and family. Thank you again for listening or watching, and may God's grace and peace be with you.